Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities, and most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here is your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. So I hope you had a great lunch and you're ready for something really fascinating. And if you tuned in because you thought it was going to be a zombie show because the title was The Talking Dead, sorry, guys, it was just to get you in here. This guy is definitely not a zombie. This is probably the most amazing person you will ever hear speak. And I am just so delighted that I got to meet him. San Diego is a wonderful place for disabled people to come and make the most of their lives. And as you know, my whole thing is miracles and missions. So there is no greater miracle on earth than to come back from the dead. And this guy's done it, and he's going to tell us about it. But before he does that, I have to ask, Urban, how did you get a name like Urban?
Well, glad to be on your show, Dr. Sarah. Urban's a family name. It's I'm the third Urban, and my son is the fourth. And it's a Cuban background or name of Urbano, U-R-B-A-N-O. And so I'm the fourth one, or third one, and my son's the fourth one. And he decided to end it. His son's name is Aiden, so you never know. But his middle name is Urban, so I guess it's still there.
Is it worldly like we are here, like urbane, where you, because you, honest to God, you know everything, you do everything, you were just so, you're like the James Bond of people who cannot see. It's amazing. So
that's most kind.
Seriously, we have to talk about this. Tell us what happened, how you managed to be pronounced, well, I don't know if you were pronounced dead, but be mistaken for dead and come back from the dead. How did that happen?
Well, I served in Vietnam, and in 1968, the platoon I was an infantry sergeant. We were going out in the field, and I was sick at the time. And my mind was all over the place, and I was vomiting, and everything got dizzy, and I started fainting. And in that moment, and I still don't know to this day if it was just a dream or it just happened, but I heard mortars and gunfire and someone yelling, and then I felt water hit my face. We were walking in the rice paddies of South Vietnam. And 2 days later, I woke up in a Saigon hospital, a Saigon military hospital. I believe it was the 17th Field Hospital. With tubes coming out of me, and there a gentleman, or another grunt, as we said, a Spec 4, said I was one lucky grunt. Someone found me alive in a body bag.
Wow.
So, as far as I know, well, all I did was go to sleep for 2 days. I have no idea what happened in those 2 days. And 38 years later, met a gentleman, Brian Leet, through the Disabled American Veterans, did a fundraiser using my Vietnam story, and he read it, and he was a combat medic. And when we compared notes of what happened in August of 1968, he helped a veteran who had a dry body bag. His job was toe tagging dead soldiers, and he opened up a body bag, and the body bag was dry. Most body bags are filled with blood and from casualties and wounds. And he checked for a pulse, found a pulse, and quickly removed the body with another medic onto a helicopter and sent it off. He was only with that veteran maybe 5 minutes, he says. His name is Brian Leet, out of Minnesota. So everything seems to coordinate with his memory and records and, what I was told.
Wow, and so that's
here,
the guy
here
that
I am today.
That's the guy that found you?
Say it again.
That's the guy that found you.
Yeah, Brian Leet.
And wow.
He's from Cambridge, Minnesota, combat medic. And his recollection, he wrote his fiancée at the time a letter every day he was in Vietnam. and she recalled the letter, and it was August of 68, just at the same time I was there. So I came home, and, you know, with that in mind, but of course in 1968, I didn't know if that story was true or not. And I was married already to Joanne, who you know, and she never found out about my Vietnam story until 1992, before I said anything, because in the 60s and 70s and even 80s, most of us Vietnam vets never said anything about us being in Vietnam or any war stories.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I really didn't have a war story. I went out in the field with the platoon, and 2 days later I woke up in the hospital.
Okay, now, did you have any deficits from this adventure?
Well, diabetes, type 1 diabetes at the time, was that I went into a diabetic coma. That's why I went unconscious.
Wow.
And within 6 months, I started getting complications of diabetes, including peripheral neuropathy in both of my legs. And then doctors could not understand why I was getting the complications so quickly. But also while in the hospital, and I was at Valley Forge Hospital in Pennsylvania, medical hospital, military hospital, and there the doctors said that at best, because of my resistance to insulin, I'd have 20 years left to live.
Wow.
And that was, of course, you have to go back in history and know that in the 1960s, diabetes was treated as it's archaic at how it was treated. Put you on a 700-calorie diet and tell you can't eat this, and it was quite different than it is today. Diabetes is far from, has improved so much over the years, diabetes care.
So now, when did the blindness set in?
I started the sight loss right away, and of course, also back then, PTSD and traumatic brain injury and all was never diagnosed. I started laser treatment in 1982, and 1984 I went total blind. And at the time, they didn't understand, because a test called fluorescein test showed that I had no blood in my optic nerve, and diabetes does not cause optic neuropathy. So they were confused again at what happened. Of course, years later, as years went on and medical science advanced, they started justifying why I was getting all these complications. And, of course, a lot of suggestions or theories abound about why some of the medical issues occurred or why some of them were instantly corrected. After tests showed, with nerve damage as an example in my legs, that was quickly reversed after I had a kidney transplant.
Wow.
And they now believe the steroids or anti-rejection medication can create nerve regeneration. My test, the nerve conduction test, where they stick needles in your legs and shoot electricity.
Oh, what fun.
To measure the nerve damage. I had 80% nerve damage, and now my nerve damage is less than 10%. And it was unexplained for about a year. And then renal doctors said they're seeing a lot more nerve regeneration with anti-rejection drugs.
Wow. So how long did it take before you could actually get up and do normal type things? Not the extraordinary stuff that you do now, but just normal everyday activities.
Well, I was always sick. It was not only physical, but there was a lot of mental issues going on. Today, diagnosis, post-traumatic stress disorder. But back then, we were considered bipolar or manic depressant and put on lithium. So I just fought through it. When you're given a death sentence, in a way, saying you're only going to live so much longer, you can either sit down and wait to die or do something. So I did. I kept on being active. Joanne, bless her heart, said, well, we're just going to live one day at a time and do the best we can. And that's how we've always lived our life. And we're going to be married 50 years this November, and that's the way we still
live. Wow. Congratulations.
Well, you've got to give that to her. I don't know how she put up with me all these years.
Well, I don't know. She's putting up with, I hear you really enjoy meeting the ladies in Braille. So she is very tolerant.
Yeah.
So now with all of this, and this is one of the reasons you're wonderful and your accomplishments are wonderful, and that's one of the reasons I want to have you. The other one is, we're talking about empowerment. And why on earth did you not just, after all of this, sit down and say, okay, I'm alive, that's good enough? Why did you want to go on and do all this other stuff?
Well, I recently just wrote my autobiography, and now at a publisher, hopefully they'll accept it. But I cover this in there because that's a major question. What keeps me going? Why do I always look to achieve something or set new goals or marks? And it's just like the speech I did for the veterans in Colorado last week, it's all about having a vision. And most people don't know the difference between a vision and a dream, a goal, and so forth. And I've always had a vision of doing things, and I keep that focus, whether it be in business, whether it be in sports, whether it be in life. And if I keep that vision alive, then it's, I have a focus. I don't get distracted as easy as those who don't have a vision.
We're getting close to a break, and when we do come back from break, I want to talk about some of those things like the Disabled Business Persons Association, because I really believe that no matter what your disability is, there's something you can do that's gainful employment. So we are talking with Urban Mayores. I hope that was right this time.
Very good. Yes.
And we're talking about coming back from the dead and going way beyond human capacity. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the things he's done.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
How are you doing in your life? Do you control your life, or does it control you? In our hectic, overconnected world, do you spend too much time feeling tired and wired? Tune in to Master Your Life with hosts Leah Mattinson and Dr. Howard Rankin for inspiration, insight, and intelligence on how to gain control of yourself and your life. Along with some inspirational and knowledgeable guests, Leah and Howard will give you the tools needed to help you on your journey. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. We are talking with Urban Mayores, the most accomplished ex-corpse in America. And this man, when I say accomplished, I know he started the Disabled Business Persons Association. And this man, I got to tell you, I took one of his classes, and for being a blind person, he writes better on the blackboard than I do. And I've been a teacher for years. Dang, I'm jealous. He did started Challenged America, and they go sailing. I mean, this guy, I swear to goodness, I don't know how this guy does what he does, but he's going to tell you a little bit about it, how he has done what he does, some of the current challenges he has now, and maybe some of the hopes he has for the future. So, Urban, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. Well, what do you want me to start on first?
Tell us about these challenges
or overcoming something? What?
Tell us about some of these things you started. They're still going, but you've kind of moved on. But these organizations are, I mean, we sailed together with Challenged America, and they're still mm-hmm. sailing, right?
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, Challenged America is an adaptive sailing program. It was started by two paralyzed veterans in 1978, and I joined the vets on a sailboat, a 34-foot sailboat in San Diego, in the 1980s. And like most, you know, having been in business many years already, and I've owned 23 businesses since coming back from Vietnam.
Wow!
The whole point is that there was no vision. It was a program that everybody was having fun in, and it didn't have a vision. Now, I'm a big one on looking ahead, a vision, a goal, setting goals, and so forth. And at that time, for me, a vision is something that's impossible. Too many people set a vision. One day I want to be a millionaire. One day, well, we'll just go do it. I mean, that's nothing impossible about that. Or even being a billionaire, it's not impossible, irregardless. But if you set something farther than that, you're always reaching for something. There's always that carrot. An example, President Kennedy. His vision when he was in office was to put a man on Mars. But what did everybody hear? He's going to put a man on the moon. Because no one would believe at that time in the early 1960s that you could possibly put a man on Mars. But you could see the moon every day.
Yeah.
So he set back his vision to the public, but he always had that vision of setting man on Mars. And, of course, today, it's not an impossibility. They're talking about that. So in the 1980s, we talked about a vision, and the vision came up of doing a Trans-Pacific Yacht Race, a race from Los Angeles to Hawaii, which at that time, for a crew of sailors with severe disabilities, was considered impossible. It was ridiculous. They'd never allow you to do that. And, of course, in 2003 and 2005, we did that with a crew of six sailors. Well, one time it was six, and the other time it was five due to medical reasons. And you're talking quadriplegics, paraplegics. You know, I jokingly call it five gimps in the blink, and my being the blink.
Yeah, I know.
So,
the time I went, all I could do is
being the visionary.
Derail me, yeah.
You've got to set a goal, and if you talk billionaires right now, there's two things they all have in common, and one is they have a vision that the public thinks is impossible of what they could do, and the second thing is they make decisions quickly. And so these are things that you know, have always led me. And the sailing program went on. Thousands of people, disabled as well as able-bodied, since 1978, have sailed at Challenged America. And Challenged America was the very first adaptive sailing program for all disabilities that we know of in the world. And it started right here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, I got to say. I miss going out there, but, you know.
Yeah, we've since my medical issues, we donated all our boats to a new organization in San Diego that just does sailing. We use sailing as a rehab tool to get people back to work or to establish a new lifestyle for them. We're not really a sailing program. We're there to give people new life experience and then hopefully build their self-confidence so that they want to have a more exciting life, whether it be going back to school, looking for employment, or starting a business.
Well, you certainly have an exciting life. I was afraid I wasn't going to catch you for this interview. You just came back from a skiing vacation?
Well, no, far from a vacation. It's the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic, and this year it was in Snowmass, Colorado, right next to Aspen, Colorado. We fly into Aspen Airport, and there was over 300 disabled veterans there using ski as a therapeutic tool. And since I had my stroke 4 years ago, my right side is still a little bit weak, so I went back there to try to therapy. You know, when you have a disability, especially a physical disability, rehab never stops.
Well, that's true, because I'm paralyzed on the right side, so I know the feeling. So you actually went back to practice then?
Yeah, I probably embarrassed myself, because in 1990 and 91, I was the world's fastest total blind skier. And now I was a novice on the slope, so I kept low-key and just did my thing to try to get my right side back in coordination.
So did it do well?
It did. It was a workout. I did get altitude sickness, and much more severe than I ever did when I was racing decades ago. But I'm recovering. It's doing well.
It's that age thing, you know, because we still think we're 20, but our bodies don't.
Isn't that the truth? It's amazing.
Okay, so you did that, and you had started an organization, the Disabled Business Persons Association, to get us out there and learn how to start our businesses for those of us are disabled.
Yes, sir. That came about in the 1960s. I had difficulty getting employment. Matter of fact, one company actually fired me, saying, "We're not going to have any needle-toting, baby-killing Vietnam veterans in this country." Of course, that would be illegal today. But it was most uncomfortable getting employment from others. I was still sick when I got out of the military, uncontrolled diabetes. You know, back then, the methods we had to test our blood sugars and all was so archaic, and they weren't accurate. So I started a business. And after a couple of unsuccessful business starts, I just got so frustrated. There was no help anywhere. And I said, one of these days, here comes another vision, going to help other disabled vets and those with disabilities on self-employment. But I knew I had to prove it could work. And so, before I could start a charity to help others. And after a number of business successes, including Inc. Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year and SBA's, you know, Veteran in California's Veteran Entrepreneur of the Year, I started the Disabled Business Persons Association in 1985, strictly as a part-time help a few people a year with disabilities. And that first year, there was three disabled veterans. Two in wheelchairs and one visually impaired that I helped in business, and word got out. So in 1991, at the advice of a number of people, is when I started the organization, which you know of, Disabled Business Persons Association.
Right.
And of course, we took Challenged America, the sailing program, under our wing as a therapeutic program. So that's how it all started.
So is that still going in some
out-of-pocket, all-volunteer program? I had a plan in 85 or a thought of, you know, helping maybe 20, 25 veterans a year at a cost, my cost of $25,000. And, of course, that exploded. That got out of hand, and I never thought it would get so big. And that's the only business I've ever started without a vision, without a plan. It was just to help a few vets. That's all. And, of course, someone asked me how many people have we helped in business, and I can't answer. I have no idea. It's hundreds, if not thousands.
So is the association still going, but just not having classes anymore?
It is. It's just being restructured right now because we get no federal funding. 70 to 80% of all the funding comes from my public speaking around the country. And when I stopped doing public speaking 4 years ago with the stroke, we had to find somewhere. So many organizations. And now there are so many organizations out there trying to help people with disabilities and disabled veterans of business. But our specialty has been and always will be those with the most severe and catastrophic of disabilities.
Wow. So, see, that's kind of the problem with the funding business is I have my foundation going. We just want to give away free help. It's like God, I'm tongue-tied now. We want to give them free alternative health care.
So many people asking for the same dollar.
Yeah, and yeah, it's very, very hard. And so even though we don't ask for anything, we don't give anything away. It's very hard to explain that to the government. They're going, yeah. Who are, what? You know, we try to fill out forms. They're going, what? Who are you? What? No, we don't understand you. It's been a challenge. So we are going to talk about that. We're coming up on the 2-minute mark, and we're going to talk about current challenges for you, because I know you're going through a transition in your life, mm-hmm. and you're becoming an author now.
I am, because of the recent medical diagnosis and finding out the brain damage I have from concussions going back way too far. Doctors can't identify by the brain damage due to the density of the lacerations in my front left lobe. The sedentary lifestyle was prescribed, and I had to eliminate stress, and I've always wanted to go into writing. And so, like my wife says, now's the time to get into that, set a new vision, and I have a new vision on the top shelf, and that is, to continue writing, and of course, every book I write is a goal towards that vision. And, of course, the vision is to have at least a half a dozen books that will be read for generations to come.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's, right now it's impossible. I only have a high school education. I don't know how many more years I have to live based on recent medical prognosis. But, if I do reach it, that's the problem. People set goals and visions. And then once they reach it, they don't know what to do afterwards. So the purpose of having that vision that's impossible always has you moving forward and keeping your direction straight. And I'm writing a book on that, by the way.
I would like to read some of those books. When we come back, we'll talk about those visions and the books to come.
Okay, very good.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
Do you or somebody you love have a struggle with abuse? You don't need to be a slave to your abuse anymore. Listen for Beyond Abuse, Beyond Therapy, Beyond Anything with Dr. Lisa Cooney. Dr. Lisa overcame struggles in her own life. 2 decades of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse nearly took their toll. In her 20s, she turned her life around and set upon a path to help others. She can help you find the key to take control of your life, too. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, and I hope you've been enjoying this incredible interview with Urban Mayores. I gotta tell you, this is a good thing that he's writing books now, because we can invite him back every time he writes a new book. So we have a chance to find out more about his incredible life. This guy has done so much stuff that you could not pack it into 1 hour. You know, you need several. I mean, you could do an entire season of 1 hour shows just with Urban. So here's the thing. We were talking about some of the challenges, and one that you brought up is one that I'm really interested in, and that is TBI. That's traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And they're finding, it was a little late, but they're finding out now that pretty much anybody that goes out in combat and just anywhere near a concussive action is going to come back with TBI. They're going to have a brain injury. They're finding it in kids now with football and other soccer and games like that. Traumatic brain injuries can show up at the time that an accident or injury occurs, and it can show up way later, which is what you were saying. It's starting to show up at a later time and cause problems. So you really have to be on top of that. And
you do, Dr. Sarah. You know, there are traumatic brain. Today's tests are getting better, and they're even finding out with brainwaves. That was a EEG that post-traumatic stress disorder, as an example, has a different brainwave than a traumatic brain injury does, and they're able to diagnose it. And in my case, again, we don't know when the traumatic brain injury occurred. Whether it was Vietnam or my early years playing football as a kid, as you mentioned. But it's been there, and due to the stroke and the constant headaches that I received afterward and still receive, the VA hospital doctors there decided to do some more testing on me, and that's when they discovered the TBI, traumatic brain injury, in that area. And, of course, the part of the brain that the TBI affects determines a lot of things. In my case, it's the front left lobe, which controls oxygen to your vital organs, such as your heart, your lungs, your eyes. And maybe that's the reason I have no optic, why I have no blood in my optic nerves. Maybe I had a stroke at the time of the basic laser treatment in the early 1980s. They don't know at this time. They have to catch it at the time. But it is a life-altering life adjustment when you discover that. Your thought process changes. I'm finding it a whole new world in my thinking. I sit back and watch and listen to people more than I think I've done before.
Well, see, this is why my foundation is doing what we're doing. We're all alternative, and so we use meditation, Reiki, aromatherapy, crystal healing. And believe it or not, this alters your brain waves. And so if we can do it, in fact, I was blinded when I was younger, and it's a long story, but I just decided I wanted to make the other one see. So I ended up having both eyes work. And people said, how did you do that? And I said, long story, but I told it I want it to work. So,
today's lifestyle is so quick and moving, and there's so much going on that when you're active in the workplace or in life in general, you don't look at these things like meditate. I haven't got time to slow down and stop, and that stuff is really not there. And I thought that way. I have to admit I did. And now it's a different perspective. And it's funny, when I sit down and watch my friends who are still in business and they haven't got time, they're waking up at 5, 6 in the morning, and they're coming home at midnight and going. And I've learned to do more in less time. How much time we waste in our day with things that are not reaching our vision or goal.
Well, here's the deal. Meditation actually makes you more efficient. So you actually will do more in less time. But
it does
so many things for you. And the thing with hypnosis, once you've trained someone, because, you know, my husband was in Vietnam and he's got the PTSD and he's got pain from Agent Orange heart failure and heart surgery. So I give him an imitation morphine shot, and it's just totally made up. I hypnotized him into thinking he's getting a morphine shot.
You know, so, we all share the same second, minute, hour of the day. And it's how we do it. And if we're at a constant pace and not efficient in that hour, efficient means not productivity, but for ourselves as well, how health and mentally we are feeling, we're wasting a lot of our life.
Yeah, so if you can do things, I like the alternate because you don't need any medications, you don't need any devices. You know, it's nice. See, it is kind of, you know, slow down and smell the roses. It sounds kind of non-productive, but actually it is more productive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, most people really don't understand their own body. They're just using it. It's as if they're driving a car and not even know where to put the oil when your car needs oil, or how to put gasoline in. And that's how most people I'm finding are today. They're just driving their body like they do a car, and they're not knowing how it works.
Well, this is kind of why I'm here, because I should have died in 1988 also, and I had the tumor that killed Teddy Kennedy and Bo Biden, and it is lethal. But basically, I tell my body whenever it sees a cancer cell, kill it. I mean, duh.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever it sees a cancer cell, it kills it. I had the cancer removed in 1988, and it has not recurred because I don't want it to.
Oh, yeah, it's just amazing. I just find it so amazing with people and their medical conditions, or those who don't know they have a medical condition. You know, like I say, sooner or later you're going to be one of us, meaning disabled or have a medical condition. Either that or you die. It's one or the other.
Well, nobody gets out alive, but, you know, we do run these bodies, and these bodies heal themselves. So if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can't. I think the hardest thing I ever did, and I don't know if I knew you when I weighed almost 300 pounds, but I went from almost 300 pounds down to 130, and that was hard. That was harder than the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was from being paralyzed. I mean, you just sit around and can't exercise and can't move. Man, that was tough.
Yeah, that was one of the exciting things about going to skiing last week at the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic. You see some veterans there that truly amazing at what they're doing, given their medical challenges, from ventilator users to no arms and no legs, just skiing down a mountain.
Wow.
And having fun. And I'm not talking Bunny Hill stuff. I'm talking from the top of the mountain down. It inspires me.
Most amazing thing I saw on one of the science shows I watches was a lady putting in contact lenses with her feet. And I went, now that is amazing, because I can't, mm-hmm. I can hardly do it with my hands.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like, if you want to do something, you will find a way. It's just, you know, it's amazing.
There are those that you know, deny it. That you know, I'm different than the others. You know, you're not feeling my pain. And then those who love to watch other people, isn't it amazing what they do? But they don't set themselves up to try to imagine it. And then, of course, those in denial. I don't want to try sailing because I don't like sailing. I don't want to try skiing because I don't like snow. I don't like the cold. And then, of course, those who say, you know, why should I go back to work? Or I'm not going to start a business. Or I never did good in school before, so why should I want to go back to school again? It's truly amazing.
Well, there are people who just do not want to be helped, and I don't know what to do with them, because we do find them.
You can't change their mind. It has to come from within. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a time in their life when they look back and say, what did I accomplish? What have I done for society and myself? And they get depressed and frustrated, and it's all self-inflicted.
So those are the challenges. What do you think is the hope for the disability system? I heard that you actually helped write part of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. So you really are on the cutting edge of what we can do for disabled people. What do we hope?
I remember the ADA when they were talking about it, and I I did a speech in Washington, D.C. on then the proposed ADA and Justin Dart and some of the so-called founders of the ADA, and I got booed off the stage.
Oh, why?
Because I said they are missing so much in the ADA. They had this opportunity. And ADA goes back to the Civil Rights Movement. In the 1960s, the disabled were included in the Civil Rights Movement, and they said it would never pass Congress unless you took the disabled off.
Wow.
And they, people don't know the whole history of this movement. And it was frustrating. Of course, people today who remember my speech saying, Urban, you were so right, such as attorneys would gather and there would be abuse. And I actually predicted that the employment rate of the disabled would drop with the ADA, which it has, as a percentage. Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, I know. I kind of hide it. If I wanted to go out and get employed now, because I'm one of those, and it's a whole other realm, the invisible disabled.
Yeah.
You can't tell there's anything wrong with me unless I say so.
Yeah.
I hide it, because if you say anything, you're likely not to get the job.
Yeah, you know, ADA is good. Don't get me wrong. It's just certain parts of it have been abused, I think. Not by the disabled necessarily, but by others. And with that, it's been a mixed bag. And they try to, you know, revise it in a way. But by doing that, they created it. You know, I say today 40% of all business owners have a disability in America.
Wow.
And if you take the pure definition of who is disabled in America, it covers a large percentage of the population, more than the 18 or 20% that is declared. You know, you could get almost anybody, especially if they're older in age. Let's say someone that's 40 years of age, if that's older. And you could almost prove or show them where they qualify as being disabled under the Americans with Disability Act.
I'm sorry, I hear the music saying we got to come back and discuss that in a minute.
Okay.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
Do you or somebody you love have a struggle with abuse? You don't need to be a slave to your abuse anymore. Listen for Beyond Abuse, Beyond Therapy, Beyond Anything with Dr. Lisa Cooney. Dr. Lisa overcame struggles in her own life. 2 decades of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse nearly took their toll. In her 20s, she turned her life around and set upon a path to help others. She can help you find the key to take control of your life, too. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Urban Mayores, and we're discussing the frustrations of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is probably the largest catch-22 in America. And we both know, because we've both been through the employment ringer with disabilities. So that brings me to the things that we do at the end of the show, and these are kind of regular segments. And one of them is, what makes you see red and blow smoke out your ears? And in my case, it's the Americans with Disabilities Act. But this is a contest. We do it every show. And the first of the month, we award a wonderful red wig that I have actually worn myself, so you can look like Dr. Red and blow smoke out your ears. So we have looked, and the best rant that we have gotten so far, and oh, you're going to look so cute in this, Keith, is Keith Stark. And Keith said, someone loudly pontificating their narrow bias as a summary judgment when they know very little about the true facts. Sounds like somebody in the last election, I won't say which side. So, Keith, you have won a beautiful Dr. Red wig. Now, you're going to have to send me a picture of that. I want to see Keith in the day. But see, here's the deal. You saw my banner that says, that normal people frighten me. Normal is just a setting on the washing machine. We all got to have our own normal. So, you know that I think redheads are wonderful people because we can blow smoke out our ears and just rant away. So, if you're not a natural redhead, you can win a contest and become an adopted redhead, like Keith. So, write in your rants, put them on the Dr. Red Facebook page, or email them to heydrred@gmail.com. Or call into the next show. You got till the first of the next month to give us your very best rant. How about that? And, Urban, I thank you so much for coming. Are you? Is he there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I was waiting for another statement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad you could make it. It's just meant the world to me. We're going to have you back for another visit, because there's so much stuff, and we couldn't cover all of it. I want to know about all of the books that you have written or are writing.
Okay, so, that sounds exciting, and I'll definitely give you a call when the publisher is identified to print the first one, the autobiography.
So it's not ready yet. It's
well, the book is done. I just waiting for a publisher to pick it up and do it. I'm not going to spend all the money in marketing. I need a publisher to pick it up and do the marketing and so forth. I don't mind traveling and doing book shows and all, but my vision or my goal is to get those half dozen books on the top shelf so that people can, so it could be used for years to come. I'm a writer. I'm not going to go out there and self-publish and pay the money out of my pocket and go through all that. I've been in business too long to make that commitment and have a garage full of books.
Yeah, I won't say who, a friend who's done that, written a very nice book, and I'm sure that there are tons of them in the garage. It's a good book. It really is. But I don't know that she's ever going to get it out anywhere. And that's hard.
It is. And, of course, you can always do the e-books. And today's technology is just so fantastic. I used to be in the publishing industry 30-something years ago. I did mail order books. And it's completely different today. If someone's going to write a book out there, get to know the industry. Otherwise, you're going to be taken real quick.
Is there anything you have not done?
I can't mention that on the radio.
Okay.
No, it's been an exciting life. I've never stayed on the same track. Because my vision in business was different. Originally, the vision was that after I was told, get my head out of the sand, you'd never make it in business. I was told that by a vocational rehabilitation counselor in the 60s. I said, one of these days I'm going to have a company that is multi-million dollars and has 100 or more employees. And that happened. Wow. That happened a couple times for me. Wow. So I reached that vision, and now there's a whole new vision in business.
I don't know with me whether it's being a redhead or being a Texan, but if you tell me can't, you can't do that, that is an absolute invitation for me to go do it. So I like you.
Other people tell me they can't do it, and I agree with them. They can't. If it's in your mind, you can't do it. You're not going to do it.
Oh, man. My whole family, they just know, if you want Sarah to do something, just go say, no, you can't do that.
Well, the thing in life is to be different if you want to make something in your life. If you just go on the same bus as everybody else, you're going to be like everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think I can handle that.
No, not me either. Either I drive the bus or I'm not riding.
So we definitely want to have you back, find out about all of the, well, first, when the first book comes out, because I want a first edition signed, you know.
Here we go. You and me and other people.
It's true.
Of course. No problem.
And then I want to know when the other ones come out. Do you actually, you don't have a website just devoted to you, do you? You have...
Not yet. We're waiting for the book to come out, and the publisher will make demands. I did send my book to Random House due to a referral from a well-known celebrity, and they were looking for war stories. And I'll tell you who it is, Random House. And they said, wonderful book, but we thought you were writing a story of a combat situation in Vietnam. I said, I don't write nor talk about war stories.
And
came back. But it's at another publisher right now, due to referral, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so if you will keep me posted, I will tell people how to get hold of you.
Okay, yes. Email is the best way. I generally don't use the telephone because of time restraints. I work 4 hours a day.
Okay, send me an email.
That's my new regimen rather than working 30 hours a day.
Send me your email. We're going to wrap soon, but send me your email because I don't even have your email. I've just been doing Messenger.
Well, I could say it over the air, and that'd be my first name, Urban, URBAN,
okay.
At disabledbusiness, one word, .com.
Oh, okay. That's easy. We have to wrap up. I'm sorry do because you're just so much fun to talk with. And I would love to find out more about what you're up to.
Uh-oh.
But it's time to wrap. So I need to say goodbye to the listeners. And thank you, Urban, for coming. And thanks to all you natural and honorary redheads out there. So this is Dr. Red saying it's okay to flip your wig, but it is not okay to lose your mind. So we will see you next week for... the Empath Whisperer. If you're an empath, you want to listen to this because you will find out how to keep yourself healthy and keep all those bad vibes away. So next week, flip your wig, don't lose your mind, and tune in for the Empath Whisperer, Jade Ritter. She's going to tell you how to keep your vibes clean. We'll see you all next week for the Empath Whisperer. And thank you, Urban. We will forward anything we get to you. Give me your favorite rants, guys. See you all next week at Dr. Red Says.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.